Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So I listened to a USDA farm report on the radio. Yes, I didn't turn the channel. I continued to listen. And the episode was about Smokey Bear turning 80 years old this year. Now, we may have mentioned it when they first announced that it was going to be a full year celebration of Smokey Bear turning 80 this year. But I mean, it's like the most successful advertising campaign in American history. And it is not Smokey the Bear. It's Smokey Bear. And I was looking at some facts about Smokey Bear. And, you know, I mean, it started back in 1944 to educate the public on, you know, creating wildfires. Don't do it. And it's just amazing that it is that he's still around. And we still, he's got to be one of the most recognizable figures in American history, right? I mean, in the last 80 years, everyone knows who Smokey Bear is. Now, the slogans that Smokey Bear has said over the years is, Smokey says, care will prevent 9 out of 10 forest fires. And then it was changed to, remember, only you can prevent forest fires. That's the long-lasting one. And then that lasted for 50 years until it was officially updated to only you can prevent wildfires. So not just they just got rid of forest fires, and it was only you can prevent forest fires. Now, Smokey's birthday is actually August 9th. So the Forest Service is having this year-long celebration along with the Ad Council and the National Association of State Foresters, and only you can prevent wildfires. And it's been going on, and we'll see Smokey Bear at events all over the country. However, on his birthday, you'll be able to hashtag sing for Smokey, and maybe we can get Smokey Bear, you know, trending, because they want to, you know, it'll be streamed across social media platforms on August 9th with that hashtag sing for Smokey. So just preventing wildfires is very important. No one supports not starting wildfires. Wait, I gotta rework my phrasing. No one supports no wildfires more than me. I don't know why it was fascinating to me. I started thinking about Smokey Bear. And what threw me, though, this morning is when he mentioned Smokey Bear. And I thought, it's not Smokey the Bear. No, dummy. It's Smokey Bear. So happy birthday, 80th birthday to Smokey Bear. But specifically, we'll have to throw a big party on August 9th, his actual birthday. Congratulations for making it 80 years. Smokey Bear, welcome, and remember, only you can prevent wildfires. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Boy, this story brought back so many bad memories to me. NYPD is unleashing a new device called Barnacles to battle parking pirates. Okay, so it's a windshield boot. Now, we all know about the boots on your tires, which I have been had many put on my car years ago. I am very unhappy about those boots. I've told those stories before. Where I lived, they had to park, and if you parked under the bridge or in the parking lot and you were there too long, they would give you a parking ticket. And after you got so many parking tickets, they put the boot on, and you can't drive your car with the boot on. And nothing is more disheartening than waking up going, oh, I gotta go move my car, and you come around the corner and there your car sits with that boot on your wheel. Man, that is just depressing, disheartening, and you have to go pay tickets. And I figured out that I went before the magistrate, and you only had to pay a certain percentage to get it off. So I never did end up paying every dime I owed in parking violations. Hopefully the statute of limitations has run out for me. And if it hasn't, then this story is not true. Anyway, the contraption known as the Barnacle device It's a commercial grade suction cups that attach to the glass of your vehicle. It's got 1,000 pounds of force, making it impossible to remove. And when you think to yourself, well, I'll just get in my car and drive and look around to the old barnacle and drive. Nope, can't do that either. A blaring alarm goes off if you try to drive with the barnacle on your windshield, and it can be tracked by GPS. Now, it's very frustrating, and I know these scofflaws are skirting the parking tickets and parking in wrong places in NYC, but man, would it be a bummer to come out and see this barnacle on your windshield. Now, the panels, are like, I don't know, $250 to operate, but you have to pay to get them off, right? So then they give you a code. So when you pay to get them off, not only does no one comes out and takes them off, they charge you a deposit and give you a code to take it off your car, and then they expect you to bring it back to get your deposit money back. Oh my gosh, I would be so angry, and I would be so just depressed to see that thing out. And you can get your deposit back. All you have to do is just drop it off to a drop box. They've got a drop box for you, no problem. So the devices are already being used in Colorado and South Carolina, and some parking companies and universities are using the barnacle device as well. Man, do I feel sorry. And I know you shouldn't be, don't park in illegal parking. Don't do it. Don't pay your parking tickets. I know. I get it. I got it. But man, I feel sorry for anyone that comes out of their house, their business, their store shopping, and that damn barnacle is on your windshield. Holy cow. Now, I don't know what happens if you were to say, I don't know, remove your windshield. Because it might be worth it just to remove your windshield and leave that windshield with the barnacle on it sitting in the parking space, and your car can be driven away without a windshield. It may be worth it, but you probably won't be able to do that either, because if you remove the windshield, it probably starts blaring and screaming sounds anyway. But if you could remove the windshield fast enough, maybe you get away and just let it sit there with that damn barnacle on it. So if you're in New York or, I don't know, Colorado, South Carolina, or wherever barnacles are being used, just know, man, I feel for you. I also feel for you if you were on the United Airlines flight that had to be diverted, flight 422 from Houston to Seattle this past weekend, had to be diverted because a dog pooped in the aisle of the plane. Man, do I feel for you. So data shows that the Boeing 737, it's Boeing's fault that the dog pooped in the aisle of the airplane. It took off from Houston and then said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and land in Dallas and try to get this thing cleaned up. And it took hours, 2 hours to clean the carpet with paper towels. And according to many that had to reboard the plane after, you know, they tried to clean it up, the smell never really went away. Ooh, that is not good. So this was some sort of service animal that guests United only allows service animals to be in the cabin without a pet carrier. Oh, I get it. Yeah, only service animals are allowed without a carrier. Got it. And so the dog goes up next to the bathroom in first class. I mean, you got to hand it to the dog. I mean, at least if it had to poop, it's like, I'm not pooping back in the... no, I'm not pooping back there. I'm going up front. And pooped next to the bathroom in first class. That's why they turned it around. The first class passengers were like, we can't sit in this. We paid for first class seating, and now there's dog poop here. So incredibly, the flight attendants couldn't clean it up and flush it, or the owner of the dog couldn't clean it up and flush it, so they diverted and went to Dallas and took 2 hours to clean it up. Wow. Okay. All right. Now, and I said the people left the plane. I don't know what they did. It doesn't say that they were, that they left the plane and then it got cleaned up and came back on. It just said that the time spent on the ground to trying to deal with the problem meant the food on board, went, and a lot of snacks were left. Oh, yeah. So I think they did. I think they did make them get off the plane. Wow. That is not good. Remember now, that's not humans. We've had humans going to number two on airplanes, which, you know, is never, you can quote me on this, that's never good. But I will say, maybe you control the dog. I don't know what you do. Apparently, they claim that the airline recommends passengers traveling with pets bring a toy to keep them calm, as well as plastic bags in case of bathroom emergencies. So the person who owned this dog didn't have a plastic bag to pick it up, and it took, they had to divert the flight and then try to clean it up. Weird. But I feel for you. I understand, man, because no thank you. Remember way back during the pandemic where we faced drug and medical supply shortages? Yeah. Well, it's just like we're living in that time again because we're facing drug and medical supply shortages in the United States. As of March, oh my gosh, that was just a short time ago, there were more than 200 drug shortages here in the United States, and it's looking like it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. Healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, and the Drug Supply Chain Security Act as trends to watch this year. Huh. You wouldn't think that things like this could happen here in America, but we've been seeing it for, I mean, literally years now. This is why you should have a Jace case. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do, fill out a simple form online and you'll have it right there ready in case you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well as like EpiPens and ivermectin. Jace Medical is empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. Check them out today. Go to jacemedical.com. jacemedical.com. Enter code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Jeffy at jacemedical.com. Promo code Jeffy at jasemedical.com. So if you have purchased groceries at Walmart recently, you may be eligible for a class action settlement payment. If you purchased some weighted groceries or bagged fruit at Walmart in the recent years, you, of course, may be eligible for a cash payment from a class action settlement with the retailer. Now, the class action lawsuit, first filed back in 2022, alleges that Walmart shoppers across the U.S. and Puerto Rico who purchased certain sold by weight meat and seafood, as well as select citrus sold in bulk bags, paid more than the lowest price advertised in stores. Those bastards. So Walmart, of course, is denying any wrongdoing, but they agreed. Look, we're not admitting to anything going wrong, but you know what? Here's $45 million. And we'll just settle this case. Oh, okay. So the impacted customers can now submit claims for cash payments. Of course, Walmart said we'll continue providing our customers everyday low prices to help them save money on the products they want and need. And we still deny the allegations. However, we believe a settlement is in the best interest of both parties. So you can learn about submitting a claim and the products that are covered on the settlement administrator's website, which is walmartweightedgroceriessettlement.com. It's just as simple as that. Go to walmartweightedgroceriessettlement.com and all the information is there. Deadline to exclude yourself from the settlement, May 22nd. June 5th is the deadline to submit a claim. Final approval hearing is June 12th. So it's going to be a little bit before you can get any cash. But if you purchased weighted meat, seafood, bagged citrus products, oranges, grapefruit, tangerines at a Walmart in the U.S. And or Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is the U.S. too, Jeff. Yeah, I know. It shouldn't be and or. It's in the U.S., in the continental U.S., or Puerto Rico, between October 19th, 2018 and January 19th, 2024. You may be able to get some cash from Walmart from this class action settlement. Now, consumers with a proof of purchase can receive between $10 and $25, depending on how many eligible products they attest to buying during the settlement class period. Oh, wow. So those with receipts or other documentation could be entitled to get 2% of the total cost of each product they purchase, up to $500. So if you don't have a receipt, you can just say, yeah, I spent like $25. I'm not telling you to do that, because that would be wrong. If you did not purchase anything from Walmart, it would be wrong of you to say that you did. Man, do not do that. So approved claimants will receive their payments electronically through Venmo, Zelle, Arch, or a virtual prepaid MasterCard. Paper checks could also be requested to those unable to receive payments electronically. So you have until June 5th. Just swing on over to WalmartWeightedGroceriesettlement.com and you're good to go. Also, speaking of class action settlements and agreements, I see where Norfolk Southern announced reaching a $600 million agreement in principle, to subject to court approval, of course, to resolve a consolidated class action lawsuit resulting from the East Palestine derailment. If approved, the agreement will resolve all class action claims within a 20-mile radius from the derailment, and for residents who choose to participate, personal injury claims within a 10-mile radius of the derailment. Interesting. The Norfolk Southern said the agreement, whose financial impact will be included in the railroad's first Q24 results. Oh, yeah, I mean, they're just going to already writing that money off. The agreement is expected to go before the U.S. District Court in Ohio later this month, and they are hoping for final approval. Payments to class members under the settlement could begin by the end of this year. That's interesting. I would like to know what all they're getting and what's happening with that, because I wonder how the people in East Palestine actually feel about that. $600 million is a lot of money. But broken down with how many ever people you're breaking it up to, plus attorney's fees, it might behoove you to go ahead. Now, I will say this. It's good that they're making this settlement, because it does not include or constitute any admission of liability, wrongdoing, or fault. So, oh, here we go. This is what it's going to break down, I guess. This is what they've given since the derailment. $104 million in community assistance to East Palestine and surrounding areas in Ohio and Pennsylvania, including $25 million for a regional safety training center, $25 million in planned improvements to East Palestine City Park, $21 million in direct payments to residents, $9 million to local first responders, $4.3 million to support upgrades to drinking water infrastructure, $2 million for community-directed projects, $500,000 grant for economic development. Wow. So, I mean, they've been putting out some cash, and I don't know that that's even enough. But $600 million, you know, subject to approval, interesting. But they're not admitting to any fault, so why don't you just back off them and take the money and shut up. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. You know, if you wonder why people play the lotto and just think to themselves, I mean, because, well, hope, that's the hope that you're going to win the lottery, obviously. But, you know, I see a new survey from Redfin that found 1 in 5 Americans are skipping meals in order to afford their mortgage or rent. Wow. Another 1 in 6 Americans are skipping or delaying medical treatments. Meanwhile, about half of the U.S. is struggling to make their payments on time. The report comes, obviously, as home prices have gone up about 60%. I say obviously. I didn't realize it was that much over the past decade. Amid a housing shortage that states and federal government are struggling to address. I don't know that there's a housing shortage. There certainly isn't a housing shortage in Texas. They're building houses every freaking day. But I will say that if you're skipping meals in order to afford your mortgage or rent, and some will say, well, then you shouldn't be buying a lottery ticket. Yeah, but I mean, one lotto ticket, one Powerball, and you're winning. I mean, the next drawing, if you're listening live, today is the 9th of April. The next drawing is tomorrow. Well, no, actually, the next drawing is tonight, Mega Millions, $97 million, $45 million in cash payout. Tomorrow is the Powerball, $31 million. No one won the $20 million. You know, and $14.5 million cash payout. I mean, one ticket could win you that. That's the hope. That's why you play it. I mean, if you're skipping a meal in order to afford your mortgage or rent, boy, you can. I understand. I understand because I have the same hope. One company that is giving out hope is Instagram. Are they giving out hope? Yes, that's what they're doing. According to this, Instagram contributed $32.4 billion to Meta's total revenue, accounting for 27% of the company's overall earnings from advertising. Wow. Instagram's ad revenue was higher than Google's and YouTube, which generated $28.8 billion. That information was disclosed in the Instagram's revenue in a court filing. That's significant growth for Instagram. I mean, it's $32.4 billion to Meta's total revenue. Yeah, they are a fan over there at Meta of Instagram. You can follow me on my Instagram account, Jeff Fisher Radio. I have a Facebook page that's under the Meta banner, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me there. You can follow me on X at Jeffy JFR. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can order a cameo from me at any time at Jeffy JFR on Cameo. That's not free, but you go to the Cameo app at Jeffy JFR and order a cameo, and everything works out to make everyone happy. Cameo, me, and you. And you can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You see where Target is trying? Well, they're trying to keep up with Amazon Prime and Walmart Plus, but they have launched their paid membership program, and they're calling it Target Circle. And this week it kicks off, Target Circle Week. It's the big sale season. It's going to run through, now, if you're listening live, the 9th of April, 2024, through the 13th of April, 2024. Oh, my anniversary. With deals on thousands of products. Oh, so, I mean, that's kind of cool. Yes, don't look at me like that. It's my anniversary. And my wedding anniversary to this wife. yeah, it is. How many years now? This has been 21, 22, something like that. Yeah. Years of fun and happiness and never been better. So anyway, back to Target Circle Week. You can become a free member and get a few rewards, but what they really want to do is upsell you to Target Circle 360. That's what they want. Target Circle 360, $99 a year. So a new membership includes unlimited free same-day delivery in as little as an hour with no delivery fees or markups and free two-day shipping. It also includes access to Ship It Marketplace, which offers same-day delivery from more than 100 retailers nationwide. Now, as the special launch offer, you can get your Target Circle 360 from now through May 18th. Oh, so you got to have a card, though, the way that makes this sound. You have to get a card. Well, you don't have to get the Target Circle 360, but you do need a Circle Rewards card. And then you have until May 18th where you can sign up for the Target Circle card, and you'll get 49 cents, or I mean, it'll be for $49 a year. You save $50 the first year. So yeah, Target Circle card holders have access to the 49 offer at any time. Oh, so I don't know that there's an end date of May 18th. So get your card now. If you shop at Target, you want to become a free member of the Circle Rewards card right now. You don't have to decide on the 360, but you do need that card. Without the card, did you get a card when we offered it to you? No. Well, tough. Take a hike. It's going to cost you $100 then. You're not saving the $49, okay? But, I mean, good luck. Good luck. Everybody wants a piece of you. You can quote me on that, by the way. Everyone wants a piece of you. Have you ever wondered just exactly how it is that our politicians enter into public service making moderate salaries, but then end up walking away with an astonishing amount of money? I have wondered that. Where are all these tens of millions of dollars coming from? And while they're busy earning all that money, are they actually doing the job we sent them there to do? Who's doing their job? I don't know. We all learned from an early age that the best way to get rich in America was to get a degree, start a business, or maybe take a job on Wall Street. Work hard, save even harder, so that you can make a better life for yourself and for your children. Turns out, it's way easier than that. All you have to do is get elected to Congress. Join us Wednesday. That's tomorrow, the 10th of April, 2024, 8 p.m. Eastern, for a live pre-show hosted by Glenn Beck and James Poulos, followed by a live premiere of Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, streaming live on YouTube and Blaze TV. The live premiere is on Blaze TV, I believe. I don't know if they're both on YouTube or not, but you need to become a subscriber. I don't think so. I think the live pre-show event is on YouTube and Blaze TV, and then the premiere will be on Blaze TV. So you need to be a subscriber to Blaze TV. So go to youtube.com/@BlazeTV to watch the live event. Subscribers, you can watch it on Blaze TV. If you're not a subscriber, you should be a subscriber. You can go to blazetv.com. Oh, no, it's just blazetv.com/Jeffy. And you can use the promo code Jeffy and get yourself $20 off a year's subscription to Blaze TV. And that comes with everything. So you can go to blazetv.com/Jeffy, use the promo code Jeffy, and get $20 off your annual membership to Blaze TV. Speaking of governments spending money, I saw two stories, and I thought the first one I saw, wow, are we really awarding a company, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, TSMC, $6.6 billion in direct funding under the CHIPS and the Science Act to set up semiconductor factories in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're providing up to $5 billion in loans. That's great. That's great. The CHIPS Act earmarks an investment of about $280 billion to boost domestic chip research and production in the U.S., of which about $52 billion has been set aside to subsidize domestic chip manufacturing. Wow. Because then I thought that was $6.6 billion plus another $5 in loans. Samsung is getting subsidies from the U.S. CHIPS and Science Act as it plans a $17 billion plant outside of Austin. Now, it doesn't say exactly how much they're getting. It talks about the plants costing $20 billion, the facility is going to cost $4 billion for advanced packaging, and we're talking about Intel receiving $8.5 billion in direct government funding from the act, which they say will, you know, they'll invest over $100 million in expanding semiconductor production in the country over the next 5 years. That's nice. We'll give you $8.5 billion, and you're going to, oh, we'll expand to $100 million. Oh, that's great. But it doesn't say exactly how much Samsung is going to get. It talks about how much they're increasing and what it's going to profit once they, you know, expand and make this chip factory. So they must be getting a whole bunch of billions. You can quote me on that. Because they're already committed. They've already committed $17 billion to build a chip-making plant in Taylor, Texas. That's outside of Austin. So whatever the U.S. government is going to give them, I'm sorry, whatever the Chips and Science Act is going to give them is going to be a whole lot of billions. So the parents of the Michigan teen who killed four students at his high school in November 2021, they are being sentenced today. And man, oh man, this sets a really, really bad precedent. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So Jennifer and her husband, James, are set to be sentenced later today. Both were found guilty, which I thought was insane at the time. And I don't know if we talked about it, just because it was driving me crazy. Guilty of involuntary manslaughter in separate trials earlier this year. But they are being sentenced together. So in court documents filed last week, prosecutors asked the judge to sentence each parent 10 to 15 years in state prison, alleging they have shown a chilling lack of remorse after their convictions. But attorneys for the parents have asked them to each be sentenced to less than 5 years. Their cases stand as a test of the limits of who's responsible for a school shooting. This is the first time a parent of a school shooter has been held directly responsible for such killings. Man, I disagree with this so much. We are not supposed to be responsible for our relatives and our parents' past sins, and we are not supposed to be responsible. I mean, it's just, you're responsible for your own self. This is just incredible. Jennifer Crumbly, the mom, said her statement today in court, she expressed her condolences to the victims and their families. She said, "I sit here today to express my deepest sorrows for the families of Hannah, Tate, Madison, Justin, and all those affected on November 30th, 2021. She said that a previous statement made on the stand was completely misunderstood. When she took the stand in her own defense during a trial in February, she had said, "I've asked myself if I would have done anything differently, and I wouldn't have." Now, she says now that she did not foresee the actions of her son and therefore would not have done anything different. And that is how she interpreted the question. With the benefit of hindsight and the information I have now, my answer would be drastically different. She said that if she knew her son was capable of the crimes committed, I would have absolutely been different. Yeah, so would everyone else. Of course you would. I will be in my own internal prison for the rest of my life. Yes. I mean, every parent, if someone commits suicide, you ask yourself the same thing. If it were only different. If you had hindsight information, things would be drastically different. Duh. Of course. This is insane to me. I'm so sorry that these families had their children taken away from them by this douchebag, Ethan Crumbly in Michigan. I'm sorry about that. I feel terrible about it. I wish it would never have happened. But it is just not the parents' fault. I'm sorry. It just isn't. But, you know, according to the courts in Michigan, I'm wrong. Space, the final frontier. I see a headline where NASA's Voyager 1 has been glitching for months. It has a bit of a corrupted memory hardware issue. And the headline was, but thankfully it's not as bad as it sounds. So then I look and see, you know, Voyager 1 has been in space 46 years, 7 months, 4 days, 3 hours, 32 minutes, 49 seconds, and counting at the time of this recording. Incredible. It's the most distant human-made object from Earth having entered interstellar space. Amazing. Now, Voyager 2 has been in space for 46 years, 7 months, 20 days, 2 hours, 14 seconds and counting. I mean, the distance from Earth is 15 trillion 126,369,480 and counting miles away. That's quite a ways. And you can quote me on that. So if it does have a little bit of glitching going on, you know what? I'm not going to complain. I know it's not as bad as it sounds. I mean, I could say, NASA, what a bunch of idiots. You have corrupted a hardware issue. Wow, are you dumb? But I feel like that's not true. They do many things that I question, but this one I'm going to go ahead and give them a break on. I mean, I saw where Elon was talking to people at SpaceX, giving some speech. It was like a 30 or 40 minute speech. And part of that speech, he was talking about how we've learned a lot from the Falcon program, and that leads us into the Starship program. And in that speech, he talked about how he was told that reusability was impossible. You know what? No, it isn't. Because he's had 327 successful launches, 291 successful landings, and 261 successful reflights. So reusability is not impossible. You know what? As long as we're talking about space, I feel bad. I didn't include a special section, so I'm going to give him his own little section all by himself. Who died today? Who died today? Thomas Stafford, the astronaut who led Apollo-Soyuz mission, dies at the age of 93. Former astronaut Thomas Stafford, he flew to the moon before leading the first international space mission carried out by the United States and Russia, has passed away at the age of 93. I mean, he was an incredible man. He went to space a whole bunch of times. He retired from NASA in 75, and then 3 days later, he took command of the U.S. Air Force Flight Test Center at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Then 3 years later, he became the Deputy Chief of Staff for Research, Development, and Acquisition at the U.S. Air Force headquarters in Washington, D.C. During his time there, he worked on the stealth fighter. He wrote the initial desired specifications and started the Advanced Technology Bomber ATB development, now designated as the B-12 stealth bomber. The guy was incredible, and he also initiated the AGM-129 stealth cruise missiles. I mean, the man was amazing. As I was looking through his bio, it talks about one time that he was on the launch pad, and they were ready to take off. He was supposed to take off, and they had launched a rocket earlier that they were going to meet with, right? That was the plan. They were going to rendezvous with this upper stage of an Atlas Agena rocket. And so he said, we were on the launch pad and we could hear it thunder off the pad. They heard that rocket take off because they were going to rendezvous with it in space. And he said that they did some kind of changes to have an oxidizer fuel lead-in change, and they did it wrong, and when it lifted off, it blew up. So they were sitting waiting to take off, and they were like, yeah, you guys don't need to go. That would have been really disheartening. So anyway, it doesn't say how he died. You know what? It doesn't matter. He had an extended illness, according to the Stafford Air and Space Museum in Oklahoma, and it just, you know, it doesn't matter. Rest in peace, Thomas Stafford, former NASA astronaut, and he flew to the moon before leading the first international space mission carried out by the United States and Russia. And he helped create the stealth bomber and the stealth, and the guy who's a legend. Well, a military space legend. Thomas Stafford, rest in peace, dead at the age of 93. All right, let's wrap this thing up today. I'll leave you with a joke, or more of a frustration of the day. I did not write this. I tried donating blood today. Never again. Too many dumb questions. Whose blood is it? Where did you get it from? Why is it in a bucket? I mean, you can understand this person's frustration, can't you?
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.